Have you seen this TV commercial? You probably haven't seen it on your TVs because it's made in New Zealand, but it has been shared everywhere online. It's gone a little bit viral. Here's a little bit of it.
Hiya, I'm Sue. This is Derek. We're here because your son just looked us up online, you know, to watch us.
Matt, darling, there's some people here to see you. So he watches you online?
Yeah, you know, on his laptop.
iPad, PlayStation.
His phone, your phone.
Smart TV projector.
Yeah, anyway, we usually perform for adults, but your son's just a kid. He might not know how relationships actually work. We don't even talk about consent, do we? No, we just get straight to it.
Yeah, and I'd never act like that in real life.
It's a bit of an education program around online porn, what healthy sexual relationships look like in the flesh, not in that online space. So how big a reality check can relationships be for someone who has maybe learned a lot of about sexual encounters in that porn space? Well, let's have a chat about this with relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, Tara Whitewood. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
What do you make of this advertisement in New Zealand first?
I love it. It's the best. They're so funny. They there's so many wonderful campaigns that come out of New Zealand, and in this context, it's actually part of a series as well. It's so clever, and I love. Yeah, it catches your attention. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because it's not easy to do in a family-friendly public television airtime kind of way, but they managed to make it work.
Exactly, and to make it so humorous means that it's going to be spread. You know, I think a lot of the more serious oriented ads that are kind of fear-based ads tend to just get passed over. So it's very clever.
Yeah, what is the point of this? What is the hope of this advertising campaign? What are they hoping to achieve?
It's about really opening up the conversation now about the gap between a real sexual encounter, a real life sexual encounter, and then what kids might see in pornography and sort of how to talk about the gap there with children in your family.
Is that something that we're not very great at talking about?
We're absolutely terrible at it, I think. I think, and not just for children. I think we're terrible at it through all age groups. It's not something that in Australia we do well. I don't think that it's part of sexual education curriculum in the context of consent and things like that. So it's not a conversation that we're comfortable having. And what that generally means is that we don't have it, leaving people to go to things like online porn to find their own education.
Is that because we're still, you know, a little bit behind closed doors about all of that? There is a little bit of a stigma around talking about this so openly?
Yeah, absolutely. Across all age groups, you know, I think maybe it's in the younger age groups like millennials, Gen Z, it's a more comfortable conversation. It's something that they would more regularly do. But I think older generations are very much still caught in the taboo of talking about sex at all.
Which makes it hard when it's then, say, a parent, an older generation, talking to a younger generation who has a very different idea of the online space as well.
Yeah, exactly right. Maybe the parents aren't as confident navigating the online space, or they just don't really know what their children are looking at.
When we don't have these conversations, when there is that divide between online and realism, what does it mean for our, or what can it mean for our relationships?
Yeah, primarily there's a big gap, I think, in both expectations and education. So it's almost like the gap between watching a Hollywood movie and you think, oh, that's what life is. And then living your real life, which has huge tracts of boring, messy, annoying, irritating, frustrating, you know, whatever. There's just not that balance between, oh, you know, on screen everything looks effortless and easy and it might be this, but then when you actually go and do it in real life, it's not so easy. So part of the gap is around expectations of what you think is going to happen, because if you think about it, the porn stars are really the Olympians of the sex world, yes. So they've been doing it a lot. They've been talking about it a lot. They have a deep understanding. They've negotiated. And then to take that into a regular life is not always so practical.
When they're not always trying to be realistic in those videos, that's not always the point of it.
No, it's pure fantasy. It's pure fantasy, and it's, it has a place, I think, but it also needs to have a much broader conversation around it to put to put the put it into context for people. I don't think that pornography in itself is an issue. I think it's simply a mirror of how we of our attitudes in society. And when we have those broader conversations around what it means and how real it is or where the gaps are, then it just becomes something that can sort of supplement a normal life.
Mm. 14 minutes away from 10 o'clock, you're on ABC Newcastle Mornings with Kaya Hanley. You're hearing from your regular guest, Tara Whitewood, and we're talking about realism in sexual relationships following this ad from New Zealand that's all about starting these conversations about what realism looks like in physical relationships, in sexual relationships. All right, so we don't have a groovy ad doing the rounds on television at the moment, Tara. So how do we start these conversations when it feels very awkward and teenagers might squirm and roll their eyes and try to run as far away as possible?
Yeah, sure. I mean, ideally you start them when children are very young. So in the Netherlands, which is really the gold standard for sexual education, they start in schools and in sort of childcare at 3 or 4 years old, talking about age-appropriate topics. So they can bring in consent, they can talk about anatomy and biology, and those kids get an opportunity to practice the interactions that they might have with their peers as well in a real-life supervised situation. So I think that's what really gets missed a lot of the time, is the practice over a lifetime of saying yes, no, please, thank you, right? And one of the things that delighted me when I was having a bit of a read of the curriculum was at about the year three age in the Netherlands, the kids are taught how to be kind to your crush. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's just such a delight and such an important conversation to have.
Yeah, so,
I
was going to say, it can start with as simple as instead of just grabbing another toddler's hand to hold or going in for a hug, it's asking those questions. That's what they're looking at around 3 to 4 years of age.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what's really important to note is that where there's a discomfort is maybe talking about sex, as in like sexual intercourse, and the specifics of that is uncomfortable for people. But the conversations that need to be had are actually around gender and sex and power and autonomy and diversity and consent and pleasure. So it's not just the focus on where people might find it awkward, which is the logistics of the bedroom. It's the broader socio-cultural context that needs to be talked about in order to like provide that context for porn, so that kids and adults can look at it and say, oh, hey, right, this has a specific purpose and it sits within this broader societal context.
Yeah. Is there a way to start that conversation within a family?
Yeah, there's a really, really great book called Beyond Birds and Bees by Bonnie J. Ruff, and she talks about some of those themes that I just mentioned, and it kind of provides a framework to have those discussions in a family. There's some really great books around for teens in terms of sexuality. One of my favourites is A Teen Girl's Guide to Getting Off, which you can gift to your teen. But it's really, I think, just about allowing it to be uncomfortable and even saying, hey, I feel really awkward about this, but can we have this conversation? And then the more that you talk about it, the more comfortable you'll feel. And that applies not just to a parent-teen or a parent-tween conversation, but between adults within your intimate relationships.
That was, you've read my mind, that was going to be my next question, because it's not always about talking safe sex with the younger generation. Sometimes it can be about talking within an adult group as well, or talking between friendships or between partners. Does that get easier, or we're still not so great at that?
It gets easier with practice, like anything, you know, and depending on who you're with. So in some of your relationships, it might not be as simple or even appropriate to have, like, say, a colleague at work, for example. But in some of those relationships, it will become easier. So it depends on your personal level of education, I think, as to the kinds of conversations you would have. So it's really important for all of us to begin to learn about, like, what are the challenges and what are the sort of broader themes that run through sexuality, so that we're not perpetuating some of those stereotypes that do cause harm. Mm.
Is that something that needs constant check-in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's an evolving thing. We're learning over time. Oh, hey, this leads to this, and particularly on the back of some of the larger movements. I mean, the Me Too movement is a really great example. Recently, it's brought consent in particular to the real forefront of global awareness. So kind of keeping up with some of those themes that are happening around the world and saying, oh, okay, you know, now consent's a theme. So perhaps I can jump on to Google and Google what is enthusiastic consent. So really keeping up with what's the latest thinking around those topics, because it does evolve over time. You know, if you have a look at the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, over time we really evolve in our understanding, not just of what it means, but of what the impact is on society.
Even from the early 2000s, we were watching a movie over the couple of weeks ago of a movie that was made, not even early 2000s, and we were like, wow, the relationships in this are problematic. And
sure,
a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, so I mean, in answer to your question, how do we talk about it as a couple? That's a really great way to do that, to go and watch a movie and then say, oh wow, gosh, this is outdated, isn't it? What are the, you know, what's problematic about it? What's different now, and what are we learning now? So, in all of your interactions, you can notice some of those moments and use them as educational moments instead of it having to be a huge conversation that you build up and you sit down and it's awkward and it's strange. It's just those, you know, it's those little moments where you notice someone around you saying something that maybe is inappropriate, and including colleagues, and you can say, oh, hey, do you know, that's not the current thinking around that, and this is why, and begin to change attitudes. Because I think that the focus on porn as the cause of those attitudes is kind of flipped around. It's actually our attitudes that are being expressed through pornography and then spreading education in that way.
I know that the New Zealand ad campaign was targeted to New Zealand, but it'll be interesting to see, as it's gone viral around the world, just how many hits they get from abroad seeking the same information that they're putting out there to their residents.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're actually, you know, they're actively doing the research with those younger generations to see what are the attitudes and what are the impacts and what are their porn consumption habits, so that there is some real life research and statistics that can allow us to sort of follow how the education is shifting those attitudes. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what their educational structure is going to be for sex education in New Zealand as a result of this.
Interesting to have this conversation with you, as always. Thank you. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Kaya. See you later.
Relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, Tara Whitewood.